Bout That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Sign up using our link and receive a $500 risk-free bet. That's right, $500. And if you send in your first bet slip, you'll get a free t-shirt. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNN for a $500 risk-free bet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/win.
We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is the home for avid sports bettors, providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks. Better Than Vegas, it's like YouTube for sports betting. Make sure to subscribe to our page so you don't miss a single pick. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV.
We're also brought to you by BetterEdge. BetterEdge is a stock exchange for sports bets, allowing you to buy and sell betting positions like stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG. That's right, no VIG betting. That's legal in 40 states. So sign up at BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP for a free $10 bet. That's BETTOREdge.com, promo code SGP.
We're also brought to you by Ace Per Head. Ace is the leader in pay-per-head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
I'm just about that action, boss.
Welcome, everyone, to Bout That Action on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kyle Waddy Watnell, joined by my co-host and partner in picks, Mark Megatron Glass. Today is Sunday, January 24th. Mark, how you doing?
I'm rocked right now. I don't know how you're so energetic. I know you are, too.
You got to bring the energy. You got to bring the energy to the show. We're back to our... I mean, we're recording on a Sunday. It's a little bit nostalgic. We started this show recording on Sundays, especially on Sunday mornings. So good to be back with you on a Sunday.
Yeah, he's putting on a front. I texted Kyle. I texted him at... What time did I text you? Like 7:45 in the morning.
You hit me with a double call, all right? When I go to bed, I put my phone on the do not disturb, right? Because I don't want any texts, emails, calls coming through. And you hit me with the good old-fashioned double call, which will break through the do not disturb in case there's an emergency. That's the purpose. That's the design behind
that. I know
you hit me with a double call early this morning. My phone's going off. I'm thinking, oh, it must be my alarm. It must be 10:30 a.m. No, it sure wasn't 10:30. It was Mark giving me a call early in the morning.
Yeah, we had gotten together with a couple friends at a friend's house near where we're at now, and we watched the UFC event. And,
of course.
We were just friends. We just did the things that friends do. And I slept at that house. Kyle went home in his bed, and we were planning on meeting up today at like around noon. And I was like, I'm up.
Right.
What's Kyle doing?
You wanted to check in. So our show is going to be a little bit different today, Mark. The plan is going to be to basically break down, do a recap of UFC 257, which we watched last night. Obviously, Conor McGregor not getting the job done. We'll dive deep into that. Just going to kind of have a bit more of a free-form show since we're doing it on Sunday morning before the big NFL games. We got a busy week of sports coming up. Obviously, a week off before the Super Bowl the following week. So this week, we're going to break down UFC 257, give it a recap, and then just kind of have a good time.
The plan is there is no plan.
And sometimes that's the best way to do it. A little bit of a free form podcast, not as focused on picks this week. So we'll be back with that next week. We actually have some exciting show news. We'll be actually adding some more content to the SGPN feed from our show, focusing on the beautiful game of soccer. So that'll be more of a picks focused show coming out midweek. So look forward to that moving forward. But today's episode is all about licking our wounds and going back and looking at UFC 257. It's time for Financial Investing 101.
Because all we care about is getting fucking rich.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Financial Investing 101.
Fucking thing sucks!
Just a weird UFC card. I mean, some great knockouts, some good finishes, an exciting card to watch with your friends, but a very unexpected one for us and for lots of handicappers out there. Let's go ahead and dive into it. The first fight was between Ribas, right? Ribas became the opening fight because Azaitar, one of the guys we broke down last week, who we picked to win by a knockout, or I picked to win by a knockout, he gets his fight canceled and he gets kicked off of Fight Island for bringing an unauthorized guest.
What did he think was going to happen there? Like, how did he think that was going to work?
How does that happen?
It's Dubai. Like, it's literally like an authoritarian kingdom in COVID. Dana White's running the show. Everyone's right. In one hotel.
Pretty unreal.
How do you think he was going to get away with that?
He would try that. They cut him from the UFC, so he's out for good.
Good. You're that stupid.
Yeah, you deserve to get like, cut.
Oh, my God.
So he's gone. So that meant that they bumped up Andrew Sanchez and Muradov. So we're not going to talk about that fight because we didn't break it down last week. So that means Rodriguez and Ribas. We both had Ribas, who's a pretty hefty favorite. I think she's in the minus 300s. She's a submission specialist. The UFC was promoting her a ton. And then she gets knocked out actually twice. And Mark, let's first complain, issue a formal complaint.
We missed that fight. We
need
to
issue a formal complaint from Sports Gambling Podcast Network to ESPN Plus. You know, a big media company to big media company. We'd like to issue a formal complaint that the system totally glitched. We couldn't watch the first fight.
A lot of people had that problem.
Tons of people had the issue. Dana White said it was a West Coast issue, which is obviously where we're at. We're on the best coast in the world. And we couldn't access the fight. We tried logging in. We refreshed it. We'd purchased it. It said purchased. It kept glitching out. It was one of the most frustrating things ever to look forward to something that much all week, and then you miss the whole first fight on the main card.
Yeah, how's Dana White just going to play that off as a West Coast problem?
The West Coast? Yeah, he literally
Dude,
said...
like the most populated part of the world. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, it's just the West Coast.
Just the West Coast. It's just the hub of all sports and entertainment.
But yeah, he was literally just the
West Coast.
He was like, yeah, but they got it fixed. They got it fixed.
Yeah,
dude.
Thankfully, they got it
fixed. Yeah, they got it
fixed,
but there was literally like 45 minutes of pure panic. We were just thinking, oh my God, we're not going to get the McGregor fight.
Yeah, we were playing beer pong in our friend's living room, going back and forth, like, trying to figure out the feed, and then they're like, you got to take your shot and throw it.
Yeah.
Fight's not up still.
Yeah, so eventually we got the fight up, but it was after this fight. I did go back and watch the finish. Ribas actually kind of got knocked out twice. I don't know if you saw this highlight.
I didn't see any of it.
She got hit with a big right hand, went down, and then Rodriguez kind of thought she finished the fight and sort of started walking away because Herb Dean came in. You know, Herb Dean, famous UFC
legend.
Referee. He came in to sort of stop the fight, but he didn't actually say stop or wave his hands in that motion that they do. But he accidentally kind of made contact with Rodriguez. Like, he bumped her a little bit. So she thought...
And he's huge.
Yeah, he's huge. As soon as you make contact with the athlete, that means the fight's over, right? Because sometimes referees have to push a guy off or pull someone away. You know what I mean? So he accidentally kind of bumped her. So she walks away. But then Herb Dean's standing there like, fight's not over. So then everyone's just kind of awkwardly like looking at each other.
He just walks up and knocks
Ribas
her out
is
again.
Standing there just like totally rocked. And then the fight restarts, and then she went and hit her again, and then he was like, all right. He was like, all right, that's
fucking
enough.
Herb.
Yeah, that's enough that time.
That's got to be one of the worst ways to go. It's
yeah.
Like, actually, fight's not stopped.
Yeah,
you come
terrible.
Back and instantly
terrible.
Get knocked out again.
So that was a bummer. I mean, Rodriguez, credit where it's due. Ribas didn't spend enough of the fight on the ground. I mean, it was hard for us to break this one down because we were too busy refreshing Google Chrome. Anyway, we'll move on to the next fight. It was a good one, right? It was between Jessica Eye and Joanne Calderwood. You picked Jessica Eye. I had Joanne Calderwood. That was my my only win.
I lost that one.
Yeah, well, you didn't have a single win.
I took the Machine Gun Kelly fighter.
That's right.
Didn't work out.
Yeah, that was a good fight. Just a slight edge to Calderwood. She's kind of that gatekeeper to the top of that of the flyweight division. So, kind of went how we broke it down. Not much to add on that one. The lightweight co-main event, one we were really excited for. Dan Hooker and Michael Chandler faced off. Michael Chandler gets a first round knockout on his UFC debut. Your thoughts on that one?
That was incredible.
Yeah.
It was like two and a half minutes, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He made quick work of that.
Yeah, we didn't see that one coming. I mean, we figured if Michael was going to win, his way of winning would be to wrestle, because he's a wrestler, get Dan Hooker down, grind him out, and either win a decision or get a late ground and pound win. Definitely did not expect a first round knockout. Dan Hooker looked kind of like caught in the lights a little bit. I don't know. He didn't look like.
We were sitting on the couch watching the fight. I turned over to our buddy who like doesn't follow UFC at all. Mm-hmm. I was like, you like this Dan Hooker guy.
Yeah,
he's
right.
Like a good guy to root for. You know, he's like a humble guy. He just loves to rock people, loves to get hit. Like all his fights are super bloody.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. 2 minutes later, he just gets destroyed by this guy who just got called up from the fucking minors. My friend was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, our other buddy said that, which was interesting. It's like he spent 10 years in the minor leagues, right? And then got pulled up. And if you're just crushing it in the minors for that long, I mean, maybe you're going to crush it in the majors. Maybe you're just used to winning. You're used to like being the guy, you know what I mean? You're used to being the dominant force in a fight. And maybe that's kind of what happened. He went out there expecting to get it done, and he did get it done. It looked like Hooker was getting ready for a takedown because Chandler was doing all the pressuring. And it looked like he was backing towards the fence, kind of worried about the takedown. And sometimes these wrestlers throw like a looping overhand punch that guys don't see because they're looking down, trying to protect their legs. Looked like that kind of what happened. He got caught with a big left punch, went down, and Michael Chandler finished the job.
What do you think he's going to be ranked after this?
That's a good question. I was going to ask you that as well. What you think is going to happen now?
Was Hooker 5 or 6?
He was higher than that. I think he was 5. But what happens now is like totally up in the air. The Poirier-McGregor fight probably should have been for the title. I think a lot of people are making that argument. But now what do? Now you take Chandler. Does Chandler deserve a title shot now? You know, only with one UFC win has he proved himself enough by beating Dan Hooker? Is Dan Hooker good enough for him to basically have proven himself with that performance? I'm not sure. It sounds like they're thinking about Charles Oliveira, the guy that beat Tony Ferguson. Sounds like they're talking about him maybe fighting Poirier for the title. Obviously, all this assuming that Khabib doesn't come back out of retirement. Lots of question marks. What do you do with Michael Chandler now? That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know what you do with him.
He obviously wasn't ranked coming into this. Hooker was ranked 6.
You could give him Tony Ferguson, I suppose. You could give him Tony. You could give him...
McGregor and Ferguson have both lost recently.
Yeah, you could.
4, 5, and 6. McGregor, Ferguson, Hooker have all lost.
The problem with the McGregor thing is, yes, it makes sense to pair him with those people, but he's such a draw that you have to like put story behind it. No matter what it is, you have to sell the story for Connor. So
you can get any fight he wants.
So you have to give him a trilogy. You have to give him Nate Diaz, or you have to give him Dustin again. That's the only thing you can really do. But you can't really give him Dustin again right away because Dustin deserves a title shot. I think we can agree on that, right? So it's like, what do you do there? You can't rematch him for the title. You can. I think now the move is maybe Connor and Nate. For old time's sake, it's a good tune-up fight, if you will, for Connor to get back in the win column. We'll talk about Connor more in a bit, but that's basically what I'm thinking is give Connor the trilogy with Nate, let him get a win against Nate and get his confidence back, and then you can throw him back into the title picture.
Yeah, we can talk about that more. I'm not certain that McGregor versus Diaz is just an easy win.
You don't
though.
Think like, he'll get that done?
I think he'll get it. A fight against Diaz is never an easy thing.
That guy
goes to absolute war in the ring. Like that's, you know, it's like when he fought Cowboy Cerrone this time last year when McGregor did.
Yeah,
and everyone was like, yeah, this will just be a good fight for him to get back in the game because he had been out for a while.
Right,
and he hadn't won in a long time.
Right,
and. So he just came in, kicked Cerrone's ass in like 30 seconds. Diaz, you're not going to get that.
It's not going to happen that way.
I think that's not the kind of guy that you want in that kind of position.
Okay, that's true. That's true. Anything else to add on the co-main before we move into the upsetting main event that we witnessed?
Oh, they showed Michael Chandler. They showed his wife that he met over email. On screen.
I forgot we talked about that.
And
she's confirmed not a catfish.
Confirmed not catfish. Confirmed savage that he met her over email.
it's confirmed savage, not weird. That's hilarious that you're paying attention to that. I love that. he did a backflip off the cage. Any opinion on that? You think it's cool?
Yeah, I think that's sweet, but you got to be really confident in yourself because, like,
it's easy to blow that.
Easily get a torn ACL like, out for a year.
For sure. Yeah, Michael Chandler. Respect on Bellator's name, coming over from another promotion and showing what they're worth. That was an exciting one. Looking forward to watching him fight again, whoever they give him.
He's fresh.
He's fresh. He took no damage. He's ready to go again.
Poirier could fight tomorrow.
Yeah, they could.
Like, they could just fight each other tomorrow.
Very little damage for both of them. Michael Chandler, you can't write up a better UFC debut, so credit to him. That was cool. Obviously, we got the pick wrong, but it's hard to pick someone to win in their UFC debut. Usually, it doesn't go very well, but he's an outlier there, and he proved us wrong, so props to him. Okay. Conor McGregor versus Dustin Poirier, main event. In hindsight, there's just no way we could have picked Dustin, right? I think a lot of people are going to come on the airways and be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Let's be honest with ourselves.
2020 hindsight.
Let's be honest with ourselves. There's no way we were going to pick Dustin to win that fight.
None of the experts were picking him.
There's no way.
I don't know. We did say on the show that it's so hard to bet on Conor because you just really never know what he has going on. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't fight so often, so you really don't know what you're going to get.
He looked business, didn't he?
He looked, yeah. In the first, he won the first round. The consensus was that he won the first round. It was interesting to hear what he had to say about, obviously, those lower leg kicks.
The leg kicks.
Lower kicks.
The calf
leg
kicks. Kicks.
Yes. Yeah, the calf kicks.
Yes.
Those do some crazy damage.
Yeah,
I was thinking maybe live on air. I could do a couple of you and we could test it out.
Right.
See how it feels.
I'm sure it hurts. I mean, we were talking about, basically, you and I were talking right before recording that that low calf kick is a new tool that's kind of been added into mixed martial arts. A leg kick used to mean specifically kicking above the knee, like on the thigh area, and getting someone's thigh to swell up. Now, people seem to be targeting that calf, low calf kick, and it's proving to be super effective. I mean, the swelling has nowhere to go. If you hit that muscle over and over and over, eventually it just gets so swollen and hurt that it just shuts down, and guys literally can't walk. It looked like Conor like had a huge leg problem, right? Like, to consider that's just muscle damage and he was limping that much is kind of crazy.
Yeah,
right?
He could barely walk after the fight.
Right. And you're exactly right. I mean, Dustin started targeting it, and at some point it was like, shoot, man, like, you kind of see on the TV like his leg was starting to swell a little bit. It was like, all right, like, he's got to make some sort of change here, like starting to check these. And it sounded like he was trying to check the kick, which is when you kind of turn your shin into it, so it's shin on shin, and the guy throwing the kick takes more damage. But he wasn't getting the shin out quite far enough. There was still a little bit of the kick wrapping around that shin bone and doing the damage to the muscle. You like that breakdown?
Very good breakdown.
Thank you.
I actually, I used to train at this gym back when I was D3 college athlete,
sure.
You know, big time.
Yeah.
I used to train at this gym down in Orange County in the off season, and Travis Brown, Ronda Rousey's husband, who's a UFC heavyweight, massive guy, he's 6'7", the beard and tattoos. He would train at that gym sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would actually see, they would go into the corner with a bar. It was like a big, it was like a gym, and it had like a large field of AstroTurf, like 40 yards of AstroTurf that you could work out on.
Yeah.
So him and one of his trainers would go into the corner, and he would sit there like as if to do a hamstring stretch, like in like a body in like a 90 degrees with his legs out.
Yep.
And they would roll a barbell on his shins, and he would just sit there and take it and like, be on his phone. I was like,
desensitizing the shin bones, right?
Yeah, that's what a lot of these MMA fighters do, and that's what McGregor was saying. He was
trees.
Like, I guess we got to go like roll out the shins a little bit more.
Yeah, man. Wow.
And so I actually got to witness this happen, which
that's
is
crazy.
Absolutely insane.
That's
got to
gotta be so painful. So painful. Maybe Conor needs to do a little bit more of that. The boxing looked good. You could tell, like, he definitely has, Conor has the edge in speed in boxing, right? Like, he was boxing him up a little bit in the first round, landing more shots. But once that leg kind of went out, he was in trouble. And, dude, the room when he got knocked down and out was just like, shell-shocked. Yeah, no one said anything. It's hilarious because
the friend who we were at his house, his dad is a heart surgeon, right?
Uh-huh.
So we never see this guy because he works like 20 hours a day. Like, and this guy, he's exactly what you want from an elite heart doctor. His life revolves around heart surgery. 100%. He's either at the hospital saving lives or he's just like upstairs in the master bedroom doing nothing else. Like, we've known him for years. I've never said more than hello to him. He walks downstairs like during the McGregor fight. He's like, did Conor do the walk? Starts doing the Conor
wiggling
McGregor,
his arms.
The arm walk. That was like a huge bonding
moment.
That's
right, man.
And this guy like came down. This was the only thing this guy has done like in years.
Conor
besides
McGregor,
give heart surgery.
Brings
watch
people
McGregor.
Together. Brings people together. That's what Conor fights do.
And when he lost, we all just like looked around the room in disbelief.
Yeah,
like there were like seven of us. Plus the doctor.
Yeah.
He just kind of like shrugged. Upstairs. Didn't see him the rest of the night.
Crazy.
Woke up in one of his guest bedrooms the next day. No clue where he was.
That's so you.
But we were all just like stunned. And then it was like, now what do we do?
Yeah.
Also, I have to say, I drank a good amount of proper 12.
Yeah, we were drinking proper 12, and
I did not
thoughts
like
on it. How many stars?
Dude,
how many
it was
stars?
Like maybe 2 stars.
Yeah.
Also, I think I realized you're not meant to like take shots of that. I think it's like
it's like a sipping.
Whiskey.
It's a sip whiskey for sure.
And
we weren't drinking it.
Yeah, we didn't go by the man. Didn't go by the manual.
Didn't follow the rule book.
Instructions unclear. Yeah. If they didn't have McGregor's name attached to that alcohol, I don't know that it would be selling too well.
Yeah, that was a crazy fight. I guess now we touched on it a little bit, but what do you do with Dustin and what do you do with Connor? You're Dana White. What do you do with each of those guys?
Well, it was interesting because I don't know if you heard this because everyone was in such a disbelief right after the fight, but when they were interviewing Poirier, he actually said like we need to run it back for the rubber match.
Why wouldn't you say that, right? If you know Connor's the biggest money draw,
that's true,
and he's more of a money draw than the belt.
So it's interesting to see like does he take the rubber match or does he just? I think maybe he has to go if you get a title shot, a solidified title shot.
Nah,
I feel like
man.
You have to take it.
Nah, man. Not if you're offered a Conor fight again. A Conor trilogy fight versus a title fight. One's going to make you way more money than the other.
He's
won an interim belt.
Yeah, he hasn't.
He's never won the belt because Khabib's just always had
a belt. Yeah, so if that's vacant.
Yeah. I'm telling you that.
Michael Chandler versus Dustin Poirier. They're both perfectly healthy.
That makes
healthy.
The sense. It
put
makes
in,
sense.
Put
but
him
it's
in
not going to happen.
Put him in next week.
It's not going to happen. Dustin also said.
They could fight today if they wanted to. They could
Dustin
do
also
anything.
Said. He said, I don't want to fight Michael Chandler. He also said that. He said, he's won once in the UFC. He beat a guy that I beat as well. Like, that's not proving enough
to
me.
No. I obviously am exaggerating. I don't think Michael Chandler's getting a title shot after 2 minutes in the UFC.
He's not. But that being said, you could pair Michael Chandler against anyone in that kind of top 3 or 4, and I think I'll probably pick him. Like, I'll probably pick him, and I think he'll probably be plus money.
He'd be good against Gaethje, too.
He'd be
really
great
good,
against
really
Gaethje.
Really good wrestlers.
He'd be great against Gaethje. Totally. He'd be great.
Literally,
and Gaethje would be the favorite, I feel like, and Michael Chandler would be a great underdog pick if he fought Gaethje.
I could see
which makes sense, by the way.
So you're
Gaethje
saying
Chandler?
if you're Dustin, because if you look at the list,
makes
right?
A ton
one,
of sense.
1 through 6. Gaethje just lost. McGregor just lost. Ferguson just lost twice. Hooker just lost.
Mm-hmm.
Khabib retired.
Mm-hmm.
The only two guys that are on the up right now are Poirier and Oliveira.
Right.
Right now.
Right.
So maybe you just, if you're Dustin Poirier and they say, hey, you can fight McGregor again, or you can fight Oliveira for the belt, which you're taking McGregor again?
If I'm him, 100%.
But if you lose that fight, we always say, if you lose in the lightweight
the
division.
The belt doesn't matter. It's a toy that goes on your
the belt
your mantle.
Matters. The
it,
belt
it's a
matters.
Toy. It's a prop.
The,
it's a prop,
the
Mark.
The belt definitely
it's a
matters.
Prop. It's a prop. It's a prop. It doesn't matter.
It's a
what
symbol.
What matters is
you're
the
best
size.
Fighter in
what
the division.
Matters is the size
what
of the pay-per-view.
What do you play sports
what
for?
What matters is the size of the pay-per-view. What do I play sports for? Yeah, that's different.
You if, play to win.
The fight game's different. You pay for the size. You play for the size of the check. You don't play for the fake belt. It doesn't matter, dude.
You're a sellout.
McGregor pay-per-view numbers are all these guys care about. They're not. He will 100%. I guarantee. If he's offered a trilogy versus McGregor versus a title fight with Oliveira, he would take the trilogy, and you would too. As much as it hurts you to say it, or you won't even admit it, you would take the money as well. If it's literally millions of dollars of difference. between the two fights, you would obviously take the millions and just buy the belt for $100 on Amazon, and you'll be good to go.
I just feel like that's so emasculating. If you're just like, hey, I'll fight this guy just because it's going to make me more money. That's what Connor wants you to say. He said that. That's the red panty night quote. It's like,
that's, I'm just saying.
He'll make you rich.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah, UFC 257. Wow, what a card.
Kyle's all about the money. You sell
that's out. What it's about. I'm about that action and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're all about that money. All about making them picks. Obviously, I guess we need to give out our numbers that we've been avoiding this whole conversation. How much did you lose from UFC 257?
Hey, I lost $400 in betting, but I had about $1,000 worth of fun with watching the fight with you and the heart doctor. So,
priceless.
I came out plus $600.
I came out up big. Yeah, you lost because obviously we risked $500 each, five fights that we bet on. That one fight got pulled, so we risked $400 each. You went 0 for 4.
And I also threw up most of the proper 12, so I basically lost $420. didn't get a king on
you got
that.
You got to taste it twice. Maybe it's worth more.
Right. Yeah. I borrowed some proper 12, but gave it back.
I went 1 for 3 or 1 for 4. No, yeah. I got the Calderwood pick right. Missed on Dan Hooker and missed on Conor McGregor. And missed on Amanda Ribas. That killed the parlay for sure. And the lock of all locks. Thank God we didn't put your Jewish money that you wanted to put on Conor McGregor.
Jewish money. All my money is Jewish.
Yeah, you know
we thought about that. We thought about
it. Your gift or whatever you got.
Israeli bond. Yeah.
There it is. Your bond.
$2,500.
Thank goodness we didn't put that. Thank goodness we didn't put that on Connor. That would have been all out the window. That felt like the lock of all. I haven't felt that confident in picking a pick in a long time since we both picked Connor.
Yeah, not putting that. We won. We won money for not doing that.
Oh, jeez. All right. Anything else from UFC 257 before we just kind of chill out and call it a short show?
Let's read some ads and make some money.
You're right. Let's do that.
WinBet. Sign up today. $500 risk-free. Send in your first WinBet screenshot to podcast@sportsgamblingpodcast.com to get a free t-shirt. They have tons of boosted bets, including a wheel spin to boost parlays. Perfect for #DGens only. WinBet is currently online in New Jersey, Colorado, and Michigan is coming soon. More states are on the way. If WinBet isn't active in your state, you can still get a free t-shirt by referring a friend. If you have any that live in those weird states, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNN. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/win.
We're also brought to you by BetterThan.Vegas. BetterThan.Vegas. It's like YouTube for what #DGens only care about. That's sports betting. The best part is you'll be able to get free video picks from the SGPN crew. Make sure to subscribe to the SGPN page, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV, so you don't miss any of our videos. If you're subscribed, you'll get a notification every time a new SGPN video is posted. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV to subscribe to our BetterThan.Vegas page today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV.
We're also brought to you by Better Edge. Better Edge is a stock exchange for sports bets, allowing you to buy and sell betting positions like a stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG. Since you're buying positions from other sports bettors, there is no house. You can play for money in 40 states. Plus, we've got a weekly contest going with them for our listeners. They're back with a divisional playoff round competition. $10 to enter, and each user will start with a balance of 1,000 unknown currency to wager for multiple events. Might be Bitcoin, might be pesos, I'm not exactly sure. The player with the highest earnings will take the entire pool of entry fees. Sign up today at betteredge.com and use promo code SGP. For a free $10 bet. That's BETTOREDGE.com, promo code SGP.
And last but not least, have you ever thought of starting your own sports book but don't know how? Ace per Head is here to help you start your own sports book. They'll provide you with an all-inclusive professional betting site with all the lines updated to the second and wagers graded immediately. They have top-notch customer support going 24/7 and some of the sharpest lines in the industry. Plus, Ace per Head offers live betting in an amazing mobile experience. Get started today, and Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP. And just like that, we're back.
I can't believe we got to run another half of the show.
What are we going to bet on this week? Like, I mean, I'm going to be out actually working some golf this week, Mark, at beautiful Torrey Pines. Farmers Insurance Open, a PGA Tour golf event. I'll be out there working that. I'm looking forward to that. So maybe I'll be doing some golf betting this week. Do I know enough about golf gambling to give out picks or advice or break it down on this podcast? Absolutely not. So,
do you golf?
I've been golfing a little bit. Not a ton. I can like go to the driving range and hang in there, okay. But the I don't play like, you know, 9 or 18 holes.
Like, you're not going often on a business meeting to the golf course.
No, I'm not going. I'm going to watch and work. Yeah, a golf event.
I feel like golf is like a good.
It's a business sport.
Yeah, and I'm terrible at it.
There's three business sports. Do you know what they are?
Golf.
Yeah, that's one.
Tennis.
That's two.
Ooh, the third business sport?
Yeah, the third business
sport. I feel like it's really obvious.
No, it's a pretty recent sport.
It's not pickleball, is it?
It is certainly pickleball.
God damn it.
Pickleball is easily the third business sport. I mean, just think about the people I meet out there on the pickleball court. Great business people, great minds, great people living happy retired lives. Pickleball is for sure the third business sport. So yeah, I think I'll probably be betting some golf. I don't play a lot of golf. You don't seem like the type of guy who plays a lot of golf.
Last time I played golf was Top Golf in Vegas.
Oh, that's fun.
I was terrible. I was so bad.
Top Golf's a great idea. Whoever came up with Top Golf, that's a great invention. I mean, it's literally like a driving range, but they make it like, you know, all animated and make it more like feel like a video game. It's a cool experience.
Top the problem Golf's for good. Me was I was there in we played in the middle of the day, right? So it's broad daylight out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have terrible eyesight. So
you,
I would
you have the worst eyesight of anyone I know our age.
Yeah,
like, so, like by far. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I would hit the ball and it would just like disappear into the sky. No idea where it was.
Yeah, man. Golfing, I'm doing a little bit more. I definitely figured I should start working on golf. I mean, when I became an intern for the first time, I was like, all right, you know, now I'm in the business world. It's time to maybe work on some golf, work on some other, you know, intern things to get into the business world of sports. Do you feel like you've grown since being an intern in the sports industry? Do you feel like you've come a long way in the few years that you've been an active member in the sports world?
I'm sitting here hungover.
Some things never change. Some things never change.
What I'll say that I was actually thinking about the other day was like, I want to bring back like intern abuse. Think about it. Think about the shit that we went
canceled.
Through as yeah. Think about
and we're canceled.
The shit that we went through as interns.
Yeah, I
could write. I could fill a book. Of
yeah, man.
Shitty,
me too,
shitty
honestly.
Stuff.
Yeah, some of the stuff I did as an intern was like pretty funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like stuff that they would never be able to write on your intern application, but then you show up and it's like day one, they're like, all right, you need to refill the mini fridge with soda cans. And you're like, oh, okay.
Didn't you got your start in sports at like horse racing, right?
Well, I actually got my start with the Sports Gambling Podcast as an intern. That was my first sports related internship. Horse racing is something I started as a sport when I got with my current agency. Horse racing was one of the first events I went out to work. I actually have a funny horse racing intern story for you. How about that? One of my first time working a horse racing track, and I wasn't a big horse racing guy growing up. Like, I didn't go
is
very
anybody?
Often. Honestly, yeah, there are some people who are really into it. And so I was never that into it. So I didn't have much experience out at a track, but I went, and obviously all the people who are working the horse races throughout the day, everyone's betting the races, right? I mean, it makes it exciting, makes the workday fun. So pretty much everyone there is betting on the races. And so I'm there for the first time working. I'm like, all right, I should probably bet on the races. That seems to be what everyone's doing. And I'm an intern, right? So I have literally no money. I've absolutely nothing to bet with. So I'm like, all right, like I might as well just do like one of the cheap bets, one of the, you know, 10 cent, 20 cent plays. So I ended up going with the 20 cent rainbow pick six, which is where you pick the winner of six consecutive races, right? I was like, all right, this will be kind of a fun thing to do. Throw 20 cents down, intern salary, pretty much. I'll throw 20 cents down and see what happens. Maybe it'll be an entertaining way to pass the time. I had a couple of little bets, but the 20 cent pick six was my first time ever playing one. And the first, I think it was either three or four races, but the first race I win, right? I win and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like,
no one knows this but you.
You're just no like- one knows. I don't tell anyone. So I hit my first race and I'm like, all right, like, yeah, like that makes sense. It was like a favorite. It wasn't that exciting. I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. That horse won. Second race, I had a bit of a weirder pick. That horse wins. And I go, huh, okay, all right, for sure. And then I believe third race, I win again on a non-favorite pick. And at this point, I'm like, oh my gosh, Mark, like, I might be done. I might win the
might
jackpot.
Retire.
Seriously. Fourth race comes up and I'm just like, nervous as hell, right? So nervous. And everyone, I haven't told anyone still.
Yeah,
so
everyone's like, just like looking at you like, yo, what is wrong with
the
intern?
They think I'm just, I mean, I was nervous anyway. It was my first time working out there. And I hit the fourth and I'm 4/6 of the way there. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I might do it. You know what I mean? At this point, I mean, think about that. That's like amazing.
You're like, how old are you? Like 19?
Yeah. I'm like, dude, like, this is my first ever pick six and I hit the first four. That's amazing. Like, it's so hard to hit four, let alone six. So anyway, I hit the four. And at that point, I'm just like the most nervous I've ever been to watch a race, obviously. And of course, like, the last races of the day have huge fields. So race five happens and I lose and it's all over. But I was still the closest I've ever come
he
to
hasn't
hitting a pick
left
six.
The business since.
Yeah, yeah. Still the closest
now
I've ever come.
Hooked. That's how he became a gambler.
Yeah, right? That's how I got into it. I mean, that was a sweat unlike any other. The possibility of becoming a millionaire my first time betting on horse races.
That's how they lure you in.
Yeah, but like, yeah, you know, like, at first I was like, oh, okay, four out of six, that's pretty good. That's probably pretty normal. But like, I haven't been able to get that close since. You know what I mean? It's so hard. Like, to hit a pick six, like, that's why it carries over and the jackpot numbers are ridiculous. But yeah, that was like my intern moment where I was like, yo, what if I was never anything but an intern? You know
that's,
what I mean?
Yeah, that's just the resume.
What if it was just an intern for life?
Yeah, retired.
And I was retired off a rainbow pick six my first day at work. That would have been something.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, I miss those times. Do you think they would have let you keep that money? Like, what do you
yeah,
do?
Of course.
You tell them? Would you tell anyone?
That I won? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude. Of course. I would have told if I'd gotten to race six alive, I probably would have told the people I was working with, just say, hey guys, I might become a millionaire right now. I for sure would have told people. I was thinking about telling them after the fourth, but I didn't want to jinx it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt like, oh, if I tell someone how close I am, you know, then I'm gonna just lose this next race, so I gotta keep it quiet. But once I lost the fifth race, I was like, all right, like, now I can tell. So I told a couple people, I was like, look at this, look how dumb lucky this is, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about. It just came down to like picking the right numbers that time, and it almost happened. It was almost like winning the lottery. That's basically how it broke down. But anyway, a memorable intern experience for sure.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty of those. I feel like I remember, like, when I was interning, like, the culture was, it was like, the places I was at was like, if I had won $1 million, like, somehow at those places, they would have tried to like keep the money out of me or something. Like,
they would have found a way.
Yeah, they would have found like some loophole.
He represents us. It's actually our money.
Yeah, I mean, like, are you kidding me? Like, I actually
funny.
Remember when I got my first ever internship in sports at a NFL agency.
Uh-huh.
And part of the interview process, they narrowed it down. It started with like a couple thousand people, like, because it was like people posting online and stuff.
Sure.
So I get through to like a couple interviews. The last thing you had to do was create like a recruiting material for a player, a real player.
This is cool. That's cool.
Yeah. And I won't say the player's name. I don't want to give the place away. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
But so I make this recruit, and they gave like very vague instructions where it's just like, They didn't
be
tell you like, what it was.
It.
Yeah, exactly. I said like, you have full creative
sure.
capacity
sure.
or whatever. So I went like way outside the box with mine.
Oh, Okay.
I won't say what it is. I don't want you guys stealing my ideas. I'll tell you. I'll tell you later. But if you Venmo me through the show, I'll reveal what I did. But so basically, I get to the final interview, and they're like, yeah, we wanted to tell you that we're hiring you like as the intern. So I'm stoked. I'm like, that's sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, cool. Like I'm glad. You know, I took a risk on my submission, and like I'm glad it paid off. And the guy was like, actually, to be honest, like we just really liked you as a kid and as a guy, but your submission was so far off from what we were looking for. But we liked you enough anyway, so you're still hired.
Wow.
I was like, really interesting. So the big guy basically
didn't like your risk.
Yeah, they basically like shit on me, and they're like, this is not what we were looking for at all. Like, but this is the crazy part. So then I was an intern for that summer. I get rehired back there, intern there twice.
Okay.
So in spring, of my junior year, I go back.
You were
back.
Like really good at making coffee. Like
yeah.
You made a coffee
the
like
best,
another.
The best
yeah.
errand boy.
Yeah.
And I was.
We'd like to rehire you.
That's my thing.
We'd like to bring you on as the same position you
that's
already are.
That's my thing. I don't have a lot of brains, but I have speed and strength. So I can run errands fast, and I can carry a lot of things and move a lot of
okay,
things.
Okay, for sure.
Which actually was huge. Sorry for a different time for me.
It was actually a
but
big
so,
part of
so
the
basically,
job.
So what ended up happening was that spring, so this is like almost a year later, uh-huh. right? And they're like putting together these recruiting materials for a different player that's like coming out of college.
Okay.
And they're like, hey, like go through this player's recruiting stuff, right? And so we can like put a bunch of stuff together like as like a template.
Okay.
And the player that they sent me the files for mm-hmm. was the guy who they eventually
that you made
signed
that you made your video
that
about.
I had to make my submission for.
Okay.
It wasn't a video, it was like a handwritten
okay,
thing.
Okay, okay.
And my fucking thing is in there. My literal submission was used
as an example
as a recruiting tool for a player that they signed after
wow.
they shit on me and said it was bad.
Wow.
And no one ever told me.
Full circle.
I couldn't believe that. And they signed the player.
They went over your head.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you at
and
all.
And when I tell you who it is, like, dude, they've made so much fucking money off of this guy.
I love how they probably read it and they were like, wow.
I'll give a hint for the listeners. It was the most touted college football player in
what
the
year?
After the 2015-16 college football season.
Okay. Okay. I think yeah. I think I know who that is off just
yeah.
thinking back.
And he
but,
makes a lot of money in the NFL.
Yeah, for
right?
sure. For yeah, definitely. I wonder if that was a strategy when you wrote a really good piece as an intern, and they were like, "Wow, this is actually like useful. We could use this piece." Then when they brought you on, they were like, "Yeah, it wasn't great, but we really like you, man. We like you as a person." So you would think, "Oh, they'll never use that." You know what I mean? Like they probably. I wonder yeah. if they did that intentionally.
No, they didn't say it wasn't great. They said the guy literally was like, "I read this and was like, what is this shit?"
Yeah.
Like, he was literally shitting on me.
So
for
he
it.
Probably yeah. And I wonder if that it. Was intentional so that they could literally just like use it to their own advantage at some point. You know what I mean? Maybe they knew it was good and then they used it. And then you find out. Did you say anything when you found out?
No, I didn't, because you're an intern, right? Like, what
yeah.
am I supposed to like make
nothing
a scene?
You can,
like,
nothing you can say.
I want 1% of the contract value.
There's nothing you can say there.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
But that's just the times of being an intern, man.
Yeah.
I miss those. We should regularly...
I think we might get an intern, an actual full-time intern for
yeah,
our show.
The last kid passed away. That was really sad.
Jesus.
No, he didn't pass
he
away.
He got fired.
He just quit. He quit because we were too mean to him.
Imagine,
like I said, we're bringing back
imagine,
intern abuse.
Imagine an intern not wanting to work for us, right? I can imagine. I think I know who the issue might be for why an intern wouldn't stick around.
Yeah, I literally just said on the air, I want to bring back abusive internships. So I believe check your college job portals and we should be posting something.
Mark's just going to want breakfast burritos brought to every morning recording. That's gonna be what he wants. All right, we hope you enjoyed kind of a different format of show this time around. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, the idea is to bring out a soccer picks show coming soon to SGPN, and that will be a shorter show solely based on making money on soccer. So if you want to make money on soccer with us, that's a sport we grew up playing, that's a sport that is close to our heart, that's how we met through soccer. So we look forward to making a pick show on that. So look forward to that coming up this week. And then our weekend shows, also going to make some picks, talk sports betting, of course. It'll be a little more of a longer format where we get to kind of showcase a little bit of our personalities and our great chemistry together, Mark. So for listeners who enjoy our show in that way, there'll be kind of a taste of both formats of shows coming out. And eventually we hope to have our own feed based on those two things. So thank you for tuning in. You can give me a follow at BetOnKyle on Twitter. Please subscribe to the podcast. Leave a review mentioning About That Action. Let's go watch some football, man. We got Chiefs. We got Packers. We got Bucks. We got Bills. We got a great couple of games to go watch. Next weekend, not sure what we're going to break down. It could be the Super Bowl. I'm sure everyone will be doing that, but we'll talk about that and figure it out.
We might be going to Vegas.
That's right. That's new in the cards as well. We might be going to Vegas. That Vegas trip that we talked about for 2021 might be coming sooner than we expected. That could be coming in the coming weeks, so we will be discussing that as well. Anything else before we close out the show for the week, Mark?
Never had anything interesting to say to close, and I'm not starting now.
Sports are they tight?
I believe they are a little tight.
We'll see you next week.